What a glorious and beautiful day the Lord has made for us today. I basically would like to give an introduction perhaps to, I always say the next few Sundays, and then it's the next more Sundays and the next more Sundays, and eventually we've been here 35 years. And they just keep rolling on, you know. The word just keeps going forth into our hearts and transforming us and working in agreement with the Holy Spirit. And yes, you can talk about the Holy Spirit here in all his fullness and all his glory. When God spoke, it was the Holy Spirit that brought everything into existence when God spoke the word. And he said, "Let it be," and it was. And then God said, "And it was good." Don't anybody ever tell you God isn't good or all that he created is good. Because God said it's good, it's good. But the introduction is going to be, it's going to be titled Walking with God or Walking with the Lord. It's not a shorty. So you in it for the long haul, maybe a few weeks? You know how things get broke up from time to time. Now I know it's an interesting thing how we come back and revisit. The last time I did this was January 22nd, 2012. I know, it's a long time ago. And I keep these treasures, and every once in a while when I seek the Lord is to, when we're ready to start a new series, I'm like Don, I don't throw away anything. And the word of God is never void, and it will not return to him void, but it prospers whereunto he sent it. So be ready to be a prosperous ground for the Lord. Let your heart be a prosperous ground for him. Walking with God begins at salvation, because we're not with him before that. We might think we are, but until we're born again, that set in motion the adoption procedure, and it was complete once we were born again. And we have a granddaughter that was adopted at birth, so Faith and I have learned a lot about adoption. And when God adopts us, it's because he chose us. When you adopt a child, it's because you chose that child to be in your family. And you know, the adopted children have an exact same access to the inheritance of any of the other children. And you think about that in the kingdom. You are, as adopted children of the Lord, you have full access to the inheritance of all of God promised in his word for each of us. Exercising our God-given authority and power of the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And that's really important, because a lot of people know that the Holy Spirit came and began to dwell in us from the time we were born again. But there's a level of life that is available to each one of us to walk beyond our own means and walk in the anointing and the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. It's like he takes life to a new level. So that you don't have to let things overcome you and overtake you. You have authority and dominion. And it's a powerful thing when you come to that place where you know you don't have to put up with something anymore. I've had people say, "The devil's been beating me up all week." And I used to be tiptoey with people. Now I say, "Well, if you knew it was a devil, why did you let him do it for a whole week?" So don't expect me to tiptoe through the tulips. If I got something to say, I'll say it. But it's true. He has no power over you. He has no authority over you. That's just not his plan for your life. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes, but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. But he didn't stop there.
That's right.
He said, but I have come that you have life and have it in abundance.
Amen.
You know, life is good. Life is really good in Christ. But you know, I've learned that an abundance of that is even better. Anybody in the house for the better?
Amen.
How many got your hopers filled? I invent words as we go along. Yeah. Keep your hopes, your prayer requests in your hoper. You know, a lot of times some of you may have had hope chests for your wedding and things like that where you put things of great value in there. While in the Lord, I invented a hoper. That's where we keep our hopes. I don't know if there's one or not, but Rick has one. And also, when you release your faith, don't back down. Stand your ground. Walking with the Lord, Romans 8:11. I'd like to. That will be our, probably our, I don't want to say too authoritarily, that may be the scripture that we will start this off with, sort of a step into next week. If God graces us with next week, I'll be happy knowing he'll give us the rest of the day. Romans 8. If you read Paul's letters, and perhaps after our Bible study downstairs on the Holy Spirit, I have a book from the book of Romans, a study book, and it is powerful. The revelation that Paul had, all the things that he talked about of the Spirit. And if you're reading the book of Romans, and particularly chapter 6, he talks about how we've been given the authority, the anointing, the power, that we don't have to give in to sin. The devil can't make us do anything. See that line that Flip Wilson in my generation used to use? The devil made me do it, and he thought he was off the hook. But Paul came to Romans chapter 7, and the battle between the flesh and the spirit, the flesh and the mind, was so intense that if you hadn't read any further than the end of chapter 7, you'd have thought there's no hope for any of us. But oh, bless the Lord, this chapter 8 and 9 and 10 and 11 and 12 and 13 and 14, 15 and 16. And it just keeps getting better when it starts right off in Romans 8:1. Therefore there is now, say now,
yeah,
no condemnation,
no condemnation
to them which are in Christ Jesus. Other translations stop. King James doesn't. Catch this little phrase. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, our flesh will condemn us. If we do what we feel like doing, if we say what we feel like saying, we condemn ourselves, and God had nothing to say and nothing to do about that. Because it's our flesh that... And we all have that flesh side. It's the earth suit we live in. But you know what? Way back a long time ago, before time was, from before the foundation of the world, God already knew all that stuff about us. And yet, he found your life worthy and valuable. Eons of time went by before we were even born. But the value that he put on our lives was so high. You know the price that was paid for us, and he was willing to do that, even in our lost condition. But now there's a new walk. And the title of it is going to be Walking Worthy of the Lord. So that walk in the Lord is very different than the life we walked before that. Some of you may have followed after religion. Religion is man's way of attempting to reach or connect with the Lord. But relationship is what God is really after, and that comes through knowing Jesus Christ. So we're going to talk about a walk about relationship and not about religion. So I don't like to talk about religion. Jesus didn't think a whole lot of it either. So if he didn't, I'm not going to wallow in that too much. All I know is that it really quenches the things of the Spirit. But the Spirit gives life. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of life that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, does he?
Yes.
Yeah? Everybody sure about that?
Yes.
Good. I don't want to have to go down that road. Because it says if. So the question is for each of us who say yes, there are really a lot of great and precious promises. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. The life that we live now is basically, if I could maybe rephrase that a little bit, the life that's lived in these earth suits now is Christ living his life through each of us. We house the Spirit. We're the house where the Holy Spirit lives. And so he lives his life through us. And when we walk in the Spirit, that's the life that people see. When we walk in the flesh, they see the old person, the kite smasher, you know, whatever you've destroyed in your life. The flesh will always go back to that. Times when you thought there was no forgiveness for what you did. Times when you didn't want to tell anybody about those things because it isn't necessary. But now, when God sees us, he sees us through the blood of Jesus. It's like a filter. So go easy on each other. You know, learn this part of our walk. Don't always go by outward what we see or what we think we know about somebody. Don't make assumptions. Just love them. That was the second commandment that Jesus gave, wasn't it? That we're to love others in the same way that he loved us. That means sacrificing. That means squirming sometimes to try to find a way to get along with somebody. I'm bowling with two people on Thursday night that everybody else despises and they want nothing to do with them. One is an ex-priest. He's an alcoholic. I've known him for more than 30 years and now I'm on a bowling team with him because nobody else could get along with him. He's a grumpy, grouchy kind of guy, but not with me. He's not. And the other guy is deaf. So Priscilla, it would be really wonderful if he would come over some night and interpret all the gestures that he's given me, trying to make me understand. We know two things. If we bowl a strike, it's this. We throw it in the gutter, it's this. But our walk now, and the way God hooks us up with people in relationships, is phenomenal. And so I think it's a really great privilege to be there because I like bringing his presence with me. And I've already began to see people respond because God has put a care inside of us for people. You know, we try to do what we can do, but yet that caring is still there. It's part of our walk. It's part of our witness. It's part of our testimony. Who's walking with us? And so I want to draw out some of these things. And because of this truth of God's walking in the power and the authority of the Spirit, we must remember that now we carry God's character or his nature in the inner man, the spirit man inside of us. And that's very challenging because the temptation is always there to want to say something we shouldn't. It's like trying to pull feathers back in the pillowcase on top of Mount Washington in 100-mile-an-hour wind to do that once words have been released. walking in honesty and integrity. People, unsaved people are really a pretty good judge of us. They really are. You know, it's hard to come to that point, the things that they notice about our life. And most of the time, they're right. I've seen that to be true. So that's because God already loves them just as much as he loves us. So I don't have to do what they do, but I'm not afraid to be with them. Like, it's a short period of time. But I don't have to get mad and kick the ball return and cuss and swear. This priest, when we were bowling in Springfield, he'd resigned from the priesthood. But he used to, there was a door at one end of the alley. If you were bowling down in lanes 1 and 2, there was a cupboard in there. And they kept the oil machine in there when they prepared the lanes for bowling. He would throw a bad ball, and he'd go, oops, I broke the wall. And he would do that. And eventually, he did what I just did. Did you hear it? You could hear that in the bowling alley. And then he'd walk out and he'd shuffle around and look down at the floor because he got convicted. You know, I mean, I stomped on a kite in front of our kids. There's no difference. Our flesh can override the spirit because the spirit is very gentle. He leads us. He doesn't drive us. And so we're going to revisit some things along our journey. And I think they'll be very helpful to keep us back. We're called to walk and live by faith in God's word as our final authority on truth. This is point number 4. Number 5, we're to be faithful, even the seemingly small things. Do you know this is an observation? If you're a person who promises somebody you're going to do something and you don't do it, do you know how quick people are going to not have any trust in you? Because they know when you don't keep your word. And that's why Jesus said, let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. Don't make promises that you can't keep. I want to give you an example. This is just over the course of ministry time because I like to talk to you from my perspective, because most are afraid to. I'm not afraid. There are people who call me and say, what time is your church service? And out on the sign for 35 years, it says 10 a.m. Driven by here 100 times. Or then they'll say, oh, well, I'll try to make it Sunday. And they never show up. You know why? Because they never intended to in the first place. You don't just try to do something. Either you do it or you don't. And people notice that. If you want to see the lost heart changed, be an example of keeping your word. Because that's the first thing that people notice, is if we don't keep our word. I know a person that's in business. Well, several, but one in particular. There's promises to the moon and back. And not one has that person ever fulfilled. It's a way of life. And he's a believer. And he wonders why his business has gone down the tubes. Duh. We're to be thankful in everything, but catch this, but not necessarily for everything. Because not everything that comes our way comes from the Lord. And I don't think God calls up the devil, hey, send some sickness to George. George has been a naughty boy in Sunday school, so put some sickness on him. George gets sick. Oh God, why did you do that? He didn't read John 10:10. Be thankful in everything. Not necessarily for everything. And we're going to look at what Jesus talked about the tribute money. When Jesus was asked if we should pay our taxes, our tribute money. And Jesus simply said, whose inscription is on the coin? And what were they told? Caesar. Caesar was on the coin at that time when the Israelites were ruled by the Romans, and Caesar's inscription was on the coin. And Jesus said, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." You need to get a really deep revelation of that. The things that are the devil's are the devil's. The things that are of the Lord are of the Lord. Don't make the mistake of thinking that the things of the devil came from God. Don't get led down that road, because you'll suddenly find out you're going to start losing simple battles in life that you could have won. But you began to look the other way, thinking God did that. And then someone really religious will say, "Well, God allowed it for a purpose." I don't think God has any say about that anymore, because you know what? Look at what happened on Resurrection Day. Did you know in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were put in charge of all of God's creation? They were put in charge, and God says, "You're in charge. You get to name all the critters. You have I give you dominion and authority over every creeping thing, over every flying thing." Out of obedience, Adam had that authority. But then, I don't know what was on the fruit. Some people say apple. I wasn't there, so I couldn't tell. But all I know is whatever alluring to that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Eve was deceived and fell for that. And there was something on the tree. We'll just say fruit. Could have been a banana. I don't know. But the whole point of it is it's not what it is. It's what it did. Adam lost his dominion and authority over all of God's creation. But there's another garden mentioned in the Bible. It's called the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus went to hell and paid the price for what Adam lost. That's why Paul calls him either the second Adam or the last Adam, because there's only two. The first Adam, the last Adam. Adam and Jesus. Everything that Adam lost through disobedience, Jesus Christ won it back through obedience, even to the death of the cross. And now in Christ, you have the same dominion and authority been given back to you that Adam had, because now you're a child of the King, and you have an inheritance that you can walk in that dominion and that authority and that power. And we're going to talk about all these tasty tidbits in here. And it's really exciting. I don't even want to stop now, but I probably will, because you know where that's going to go. Oh, one more. We are commanded to walk in the unconditional love of the Father. There, I'll stop with that. That's a good one. That's a good one to leave. Because people tend to remember the last thing they heard more than the first thing. So as we pray for one another and those who have prayer needs, when we leave, walk in the unconditional love of the Father. Even if you have to suck it up and just put your chin up and say, "God, we're doing this. Show me three reasons why you love that person, and then I'll have an understanding. When I see how much God loves a person, it helps me to love them too. Because it's easy to let feelings get in the way. Love is a powerful thing. So I'm going to leave with that one. That's even number 7. That's a good number for today. Does anybody in the house have need for prayer? Because we always, for those of you that maybe haven't been coming too long yet, we always take time to pray for each other before we go home. It's a chance to do that. And also, if you have someone or a situation that you want prayer for, we don't let those go unheard. We take them before the Lord together.